Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 19th. We're getting ready to kick off week 3 of the NFL season. As always, on Wednesday, I take questions from you guys, the listeners. So if you guys have questions about a player, something you saw on the field, you can send those questions directly to me at stevethescout81@gmail.com. Each week, I'll pick the best questions to answer at that time and then give you guys a shout out on the show. Remember, for more information, you can follow me on Twitter at SteveTheScout81 and also on my website, SteveTheScout.com. And again, all questions can go directly to SteveTheScout81@gmail.com. So also on today's show, I give you a scouting report on a college prospect that will be entering next year's NFL draft. As I mentioned last week, I'm going to be focusing on the glamour position first, which are the quarterbacks. Last week, I did it on Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert. This week, I'm going to be breaking down Mizzou quarterback Drew Locke. So with that being said, let's dive right into it and you know get to your guys' questions. The questions that I'm taking today are from Derek Sanchez, Matt Conway, Alan Ruggiero, Damian Tanner, and Richard Knibbe. And let's dive right into him. So, Derek had asked me, outside of athleticism, what is the most important thing that a scout needs to look for in a player, regardless of position? Great question, Derek. I would say above anything else outside of athleticism, it's mental processing. Does the player display the mental speed necessary to key and diagnose the situation and make adjustments and play with awareness? That's it. There's no NFL player that has reached the pinnacle of success without this. You need the athletic ability, but if you look at all the greats in the game, they have great mental processing. Yes, it's something that is somewhat of a talent that you're born with, but it's also something that you really can develop over time. It's something that requires a lot of study, which is why an NFL player is not going to be great just based on athleticism alone. They are going to need more outside of that. The mental processing to know and the speed to know exactly what to do in each situation and to make split-second adjustments and play with awareness. That is the most critical thing to me outside of athletic ability. And again, no player is going to reach his potential without it. Mental processing is key at every single position. It is definitely a critical factor that every player needs to have. Second question is a question I am excited to answer, and it comes from Matt Conway. I'm excited to answer this because Matt is talking about my New York Giants. As you guys may have heard a number of weeks ago, I said that the Giants could be a dark horse team to make the Super Bowl, and after two games, it looks like that is not the case. They're still dealing with offensive line struggles. So Matt's question was, you said the Giants would be a dark horse team. They're 0-2. With that being said, do you think drafting Saquon Barkley was still the right move, since they don't appear ready to win right now? And also, he asked, is it Eli Manning or is it the offensive line's fault? I will say this: yes, it was still the right decision to draft Saquon Barkley, because whether you're in win now mode or not, I think he's going to be a good running back for quite some time. The Giants really are not, the Giants need help, but they don't need to rebuild as much as people think. What they really need more than anything else is they need help on the right side of the offensive line, and they need pass rush. You got to remember Olivier Vernon's not playing. They did draft Lorenzo Carter. They still need to draft another one or two pass rushers. And they need to fix the right side of their offensive line. If they can do that, they're actually a pretty complete team. But not having those things is really hurting them because, yes, you know, I'd say it's really a combination of Eli Manning and the offensive line's fault because, look, the right side of the offensive line, and they're just not giving him the time that he needs. But also, you know, Eli Manning is just really bad under pressure, more so than most quarterbacks. He's not Russell Wilson. He can't, or even Sam Darnold. He can't buy time with his legs. And if he gets out of a rhythm, he's really not going to be very good. You know, he didn't play bad last week, but you got to remember that, you know, Saquon Barkley was a huge part in that game, despite, you know, not getting a lot of rushing yards. He had 14 catches for almost 100 yards. So in an offense where he's not getting a lot of protection, the check down to the running back, really is something that they need right now. And Saquon Barkley should be part of a rebuild mode anyway, because if the Giants draft a new quarterback next year, look, Saquon Barkley is only going to get better next year. So to answer your question, I still think drafting Saquon was the right move, because even if you're rebuilding a little bit, even if you can't win right now, he is still a really good piece to have. You have him on a rookie contract. And in terms of the offensive line, yeah, they're not giving Eli Manning time. And ultimately, Eli Manning is just not a good quarterback without the offensive line. So hopefully that answers your question there. And I think that, you know, it's more so the offensive line's fault, but Eli, he just can't buy time. That's just who he is. So next question comes from Alan Ruggiero. And Alan said, "Do I think it was a good move for the Pats to pick up Josh Gordon? Look, I mean, it can't hurt. He's first round talent. He's been trying to get his act together. If he's going to get his act together anywhere, it's going to be in New England. So I like him going there. Look, if there's a quarterback he can really excel with, it's going to be Tom Brady. If he can stay out of trouble." He could really help that team in a tremendous way. Look, when Tom Brady has had had receivers like that to throw to, we all saw what he could do with Randy Moss. Josh Gordon's going to give him, another big time receiver to throw it to. Could make the Pats offense a lot better, but we got to see if he's able to stay on the field and, you know, keep himself clean. So I think it was a good move. I mean, they only gave up a fifth round draft pick to get him. So, you know, I have no issues with that. He's definitely still, if he had no off the field issues, he would still be worth a first or second round pick in a trade. So I like it. If there's a place that he can go to where he will get it right, it's going to be New England. Damian Tanner asked me, will Ryan Fitzpatrick take Jameis Winston's job? It's really going to be dependent on the hot hand. If Fitzpatrick continues to play well, he's going to keep the job. If he doesn't, I mean, I know it sounds like a simple answer, but it's really going to be they're going to ride the hot hand. If Fitzpatrick continues to play well, he's going to keep that job. If he doesn't, Winston's going to take it back. Look, they drafted Winston first overall, but ultimately at this point, Tampa Bay is going to ride the hot hand, whoever's allowing them to win football games. Fitzpatrick has been an underrated quarterback for a lot of his career. I know he's been a journeyman, but I've seen him at a number of times with the Jets. He's looked like a good quarterback. And you know, there are times that quarterbacks really do get better towards the end of their career. So we got to see if this continues to work for him. He has great receivers to throw the ball to. He has DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, and O.J. Howard. So he's set up for success there in terms of who he has to throw to. So it's really going to be based on the hot hand. If Fitzpatrick starts to lose football games, then I think, you know, Jameis Winston may take that job back. If not, then it's his to keep. Richard Knibbe asked me, will Ryan Tannehill continue his success? Absolutely, I think he's going to. I think Ryan Tannehill, in terms of traits that you want to see on a quarterback, to me, he's very similar to Phillip Rivers. He did not have a lot of time to develop the last two seasons. He can read defenses. He goes through his progressions. He can make every window. He has a big time arm. He can process things very well, and I think he's going to continue to get better. I'm glad the Dolphins did not give up on him, and I think he's going to continue to be a good quarterback in this league. You got to remember that guys like Tannehill and Andrew Luck, you know, they just haven't been healthy. So now that they are, you're seeing that these guys, you know, can be successful. I've always been a big fan of Tannehill. I never thought they should have drafted another quarterback. I'm glad they didn't, and that he's back on. And that he's back on the field. So that answers the questions for today. I'm going to break down now a quarterback in next year's draft, the Mizzou quarterback, Drew Lock. Drew Lock right now, if you look at on most, you know, mock drafts and draft boards, it's looking like he's going to be a first or a second round pick. It's kind of hard to say right now. One thing that you always have to remember as a scout is taking things into context. You know, you might say that, hey, you know, this guy had bad footwork. Well, if he's got a busted ankle, that might be a reason why he's got bad footwork. Oh, you know, he didn't complete a high percentage of his passes. Well, who is he throwing the ball to? I mean, there's so many different variables you have to look at. So you always got to look at things in context. And Drew Lock, you definitely got to look at this guy in context, because his freshman year he had a bad offensive line, and for the most part, he has played in an air raid offense that is not traditionally something that NFL quarterbacks, when college quarterbacks play in the air raid offense, it typically does not transition well into the NFL. This year, he's going to be in a pro-style system. So where I am going to do, where most of my final evaluations of Drew Lock are going to come from are this year, because he has not played in a pro-style system. This year, he's going to have to drop back, go through his progressions, and the system he's played in the past, it's been a pitch and catch type system that is very simple. I like the fact that although this is his third offensive coordinator since he's been at Mizzou, but he still decided to stay there, and the reason why he decided that is because he cares about his transition to the NFL. I think Derek Dooley, the new Mizzou offensive coordinator, I'm really going to like to see, I'm really going to want to see what Drew Lock does under him, because he has a track record of success, and I think he's a good coordinator for Drew Lock to have as he tries to transition to the NFL. Another thing with Lock is that every single year, he's gotten better. Now breaking down Drew Lock from what I've seen so far, looking at his arm strength is definitely good enough for the NFL. He gets the ball in there with zip. He throws a good deep ball. Occasionally that deep ball will sail, but for the most part, it looks good. The games that I watched with Drew Lock were Purdue, Georgia, and Auburn. I'm really going to want to see how he does this weekend going against Georgia again with this new pro-style offense, but those are the games that I looked at so far. His arm strength, gets the ball in there with zip. Again, the deep ball sails occasionally, but for the most part, it looks good. Not something I'm worried about. But above all else, with his arm strength, I like the velocity that he throws with. He makes a lot of throws that are difficult to make from the opposite hash and into tight windows. I like his arm strength, definitely. It's good enough for the NFL. His accuracy, it's good, but it's a bit inconsistent. He throws a lot of balls, like I said, into tight windows, but occasionally he will just throw a bad ball that is not that accurate. So in terms of giving a final grade on his accuracy, I'm gonna really want to see how he looks his final year at college. That to me is going to be a big determination in terms of how I grade his accuracy. But so far I would say it's good, but I see some inconsistencies there. Decision making, that's definitely an area where he needs to improve. Above anything else, I think his decision making is going to need to improve. And going back to what I've said a number of times, now that he's going to have to be in a system where he goes through his progressions, we're going to really get a chance to see how he can improve his decision making his last year. But that's going to have to improve. He throws caution to the wind way too much. He throws into a lot of double coverages. and he oftentimes misses the safety coming over the top. That is where a lot of his interceptions happen. Looking at Drew Lock as an athlete, he's a good athlete. He can make plays with his legs. He can buy time. He's not going to hurt you with his legs, but he can extend plays. In terms of him rolling out of the pocket, throws the ball good on the run. Something else that I like from him. Field vision, something that he's going to need to improve on. The awareness of where the safety is his biggest issue with field vision. What I do like about his field vision is that when he sees an open receiver, he's incredibly decisive to get the ball in there quickly. And again, this is something that will also improve his last year. His anticipation, which is key for a quarterback, he's got, he sees his receivers breaking on routes. So I like that. But again, something I'm going to have to see more of his final year, because you're going to see a lot more of him have to anticipate receivers in this system. But what I like about his anticipation, it is he does a good job at anticipating when receivers are going to break on a route. That is the one area of his anticipation that I really like a lot. Size, he's got the good NFL size. He's got good mental processing. He is a quick decision maker. Yes, some of that has to do with his offense. His mental processing is going to be more challenged with this pro style system. So we'll have to see where he goes with that. Look, I think that he has the tools to be an NFL starter. He's gotten better every year, but his final year is really going to be the make or break in terms of where he ends up on people's draft boards. Definitely tune into his game this weekend against Georgia, as I think that is going to be a big game to grade him on, because he's going against a college team that has a good defense that, is going to be higher level of competition. So that's going to be a game that I definitely want to see. And that wraps up everything for today. Join me back on Friday when I give you previews of all the Week 3 matchups going on in the NFL. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, signing off.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.